Good morning, Patriots. So the one thing that we all know that we need is a little bit of MyPillow action. So remember to get on over to MyPillow.com. Use the code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. That's your promo code. Get a lot of savings, a whole bunch of savings, like 40% off on my slippers and my pillows, 66% off of my pillows. And a person says, well, why? Why would I possibly need that? Well, you do need it. I'll tell you why you need it. Because the reason you need it is because we're supporting the most patriotic CEO we've ever had, who's the left is trying to crush. And because at Bards Fest, he's speaking there on the 27th of August, and we're all going to be wearing my slippers. So you need to get a pair of my slippers. And since the cancel culture is trying to destroy him, we as patriots are going to make that not happen. We're going to cancel the cancel culture. So you want to use the BARDS code, B-A-R-D-S. Go to MyPillow.com. Buy a whole bunch of great stuff, including some my slippers. Get some great savings. Support Mike Lindell, America's greatest CEO, patriot, and man who walks with Christ in his heart openly. And let's make it rain. Let's get that $65 million back that the left took away, and let's get the Patriot action going to raise him back up. If we do $69 million, which is my slippers, 61 million my slippers, with Patriots wearing my slippers all over the place, we win. So, MyPillow.com, BARDS is the promo code, BARDS is the promo code. And you go on over there, make your big savings, and we support America's greatest CEO, and we rock it. Okay, pretty good. MyPillow.com, BARDS promo code. MyPillow.com, BARDS promo code. Just don't want you to forget it. Or you can call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and you'll be supporting one of America's greatest CEOs, Mike Lindell, who happens to also be speaking at Bards Fest on the 27th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. There you go. That's it. All right. Perfect. Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account to every careless word they speak. I think there's a lot of those. Probably a whole bunch of them. For by words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That whole passage begins on 33. It's either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In this time that we're heading into, I should just say we are here, because it's not we're heading into anymore. We're in this time of deep reflection, and we're making a path ahead for ourselves on where we stand with God. If we took seriously these sorts of comments like this, spoken by Christ, we would have a proper reverence and fear of God to understand the importance of everything that we do in our life. I talked about this last night in the last night's show, of the idea of fear. With fear comes accountability. People don't like the idea of fear of God because God is loving, God is giving. We must have respect and reverence, yes. And there must be a healthy little bit of fear of the consequences of doing wrong. God is an ever-loving God. God is also a wrathful God. And though God has unbelievable tolerance and temperance, there is such a thing as wrath. There is never a time in our life that we can be in a place of thinking that life is easy. Life walking with Christ in our heart didn't get easier. It became more demanding, and there were more expectations put upon us. When you start in any discipline, there's a long latitude of forgiveness at the beginning because you don't know. So when you first begin, you make some errors, maybe many, because it's known that you don't know all the rules of the game or you don't know all the expectations of what your trade or skill or craft requires. So there's a lot of tolerance and temperance given. But as you step into that skill, into that trade, into that item that you're doing, and the more that you become accustomed to doing this, the more that you accept that path, the line of tolerance for ridiculous mistakes declines rapidly. And there comes a point that you have to make a choice. Do you continue down the path to become a master, or do you continue down the, or do you leave that path to just take another path, a wide gate, an easier path perhaps? The taking of Christ in our heart is not an easy thing. It should never be an easy thing. It should be a thing of true commitment. While you're touched, it isn't just the moment. You're committing for a way of life. And it's a commitment that challenges us each and every day. And it doesn't get easier because the more that we walk this path, the more challenging we find that path to be, as it should be. We have to dig deeper in ourselves. We have to dig deeper into our relationship with God. We have to dig deeper into the way that we walk in this world in such a way that will honor Christ. It's easy to say the words like we say and refer to or reflect upon every day. Love thy neighbor as I want to be loved. Take care of those in need. Give voice to the innocent. In this social structure, walking that path is unbelievably difficult. Loving thy neighbor as you want to be loved when you've got somebody who lives next to you who's anti everything that you are is not an easy thing to do in function. You can sit in your house and you can pray for it. But God's not asking us to sit in our homes. He didn't raise up a bunch of people to say, oh, hey, guess what? This is your mission in life. What is it? Sit on your couch and pray. Do you imagine Joshua's army? What are we doing today, Joshua? Where we're going to head over to see Jericho. Nah, you go ahead. We're all going to sit back here in our huts and we're going to pray that the walls fall and hope it all happens. that doesn't happen that way. Or how about this? Moses, we're going to leave Egypt. Nah, we're going to sit here and we're going to pray that your journey's okay and we're all going to get set free at the same time. Our role in life is to be active and participant in the communities in the various ways that we can with our gifts and talents. And that means as well that we are accountable for how we live and walk in this world. Our relationship to Christ, to the Father, is not filtered by another, is not confessed to by another or to another. Our relationship is to Christ, to the Father, and that relationship is to walk as Christ walked as much as we can, knowing we are imperfect. It's not the expectation that you're suddenly going to wake up one day and be like, oh, I got my Christ slippers on today. I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to be walking and dancing and holy cow. No. It's going to require a diligence in the way that we walk and approach the world. A commitment. And like all things, when you learn a trade, a skill, and you're great at a sport, when you begin that, the discipline has to be rigorous in the beginning. Not that it ever stops being disciplined and rigorous. But the longer you do it, the more that you achieve a new level of what you're accomplishing, and it becomes part of you rather than something outside of you. And as it becomes part of your life in a normal pattern of your day, even on those days, and you say, I don't know if I really want to do this today, you do it anyway. You do it because it's part of who you are. The path that we are walking is a path of a remnant, a path that's in the light of Christ himself. And just let that sink in a minute. We're here in a time of walking a path that is a path that is in the light of Jesus Christ himself. It's not over-glorifying our walk. It simply is placing in perspective the amount of expectation, if you will, the performance level, maybe that's a better term, that we are striving to achieve. Put it in different terms. If you race cars, you would be right now racing at a level that would be compared to or contrasted against Mario Andretti, for example. If you were playing a sport, choose the sport great that you were going to try to match up against, and that's how you would be compared and contrasted against. If you were building a business, you'd be looking at being compared against people like Mike Lindell, Donald Trump, many others. The performance standard that we're at is huge. And that performance standard demands that every single day that there is an accountability to God unlike anything we've ever imagined. It's almost like every day you have to get up and sit before God and go, okay, let's go over what just happened. Here's where I did well. Here's where I didn't. God's going to forgive that. That's not the point. As long as we're accountable and true in our heart, we just get stronger and deeper in God and our path gets better. But it's the commitment and the absolute accountability before God It's what is demanded of us as we walk this path. We have to know the fruits of our trees. We have to know the good fruit and the bad fruit, and we have to be able to discern that and discuss it, and in the process be shown areas of growth and opportunity. And God will do that. God will reveal that. We have to be open to accepting new challenges. That's one of the great ones about this. We go farther down we go, pretty soon you're like, whoa, I just got five more things put on my plate. Yep, you sure did. And there's accountability for things that God needs done. And we learn that accountability by listening. And then to push and to strive. And within us, we have all sorts of voices that are trying to tell us it can't be done. We are our own worst enemy. We have to overcome those barriers that exist, those voices that play inside our head to tell us we can't, to accomplish those things that God is telling us, not only we can, but that's what needs to be done. In our accountability to God, in my way of seeing things, when God speaks, there's no room. There's no excuse that ever works or ever should be put there. And even when it seems impossible, that's when we really learn the power of our faith. We're given a vision, we're given an insight into what is to be done. If you choose to say it doesn't come from God, that's fine. But since all wealth and all things come from God, it's kind of hard to dispute that one. And as we're gifted that into the world and we're gifted a thing to do, whether it's a gift, a talent, a direction in life, and if we turn our back on it, we're turning our back on something God is asking us to grow into to do. If we don't push harder to make it all happen, we're not showing God that we can be trusted with a few so that we can get more, so he can give us more. In the end, all of this comes down to accountability to God in such a big way. We have a mind that is not an obedient mind. It's a mind that questions. It's a mind that seeks knowledge. It's a mind that is also vulnerable to seeking and questioning and trying to lead without God. We have to balance that inquisitive mind, the mind of reason, which is one of God's gifts, that allows us to choose things with our own free will, with the reverence, respect, and fear of who God is, so that we remain accountable. And it really isn't that complicated, though we tend to make it very complicated. When we're starting from the position of Christ in our heart and all things through Christ to the Father, if all things are filtered through Christ and the Father, including our questions that are normal to have, because we're not intended to be just obedient drones or obedient slaves. When we accept that filtering of Christ to the Father in all things, that means as well our questions, our doubts, all of those things are filtered through Christ to the Father. Even our fears. And when we do that, we're establishing the relationship, a true relationship with God in all things that we do. Not just bringing to him problems, not just asking for him to solve certain things, but to be one with him in all that we do, every breath and every step, so that as we learn that place and we grow into that place, the unity of action, of what is asked for and what we deliver, become nearly seamless. But to get there, it's a daily discipline. It's a moment-by-moment discipline at times. You see a person who's, or let's rephrase, when you work with somebody who has spent years of their life mastering a martial arts, one of the gifts that they'll acquire is the ability to make the most difficult seem easy and seamless. Fast looks slow. And everything seems smooth. Because they've moved past the rigor of what the mind tries to resist the body to do. And instead, they've moved to a place where the action has been trained into the muscle memory so that the mind no longer thinks about the process or resists the process. It's a clear place between thought and action. The doubt is gone, the resistance is gone, and the perfection begins to reveal itself, a perfection that only can come through the relationship ultimately with us in God. When we look at life like that, and we look at our walk with Christ like that, it's that sort of mastery that we are trying to achieve. That every breath that we take, and every action that is outcome from that, is a seamless relationship between what is asked and what we deliver, what law we walk, and how it shows up in life. No hesitation, just a seamless relationship between God and ourselves and the action that comes out of that. In that place, accountability then becomes part of our daily process as God guides us and we do. But it also comes from a rigor, a discipline over our lifetime of listening, frequently asking, questioning at times, but as part of the process and context within filtering all things through Christ to the Father, so that that seamless process delivers an outcome that's in the perfection that God intends. In fact, we never really stop questioning. But we start trusting. And we trust more. And as we trust more, we hear more clearly. And our path reveals itself with the precision and the clarity that only the eyes that God gives allow us to see. Our challenges in this time are immense because we're surrounded by the temptations of judgment and doubt and fear. We're all frustrated with many of the decisions people make. I listened to a conversation yesterday between two people, neighbors. One, not injected, one likely injected, one confident in walking in this place with God, another having been living in fear, masking up all the time, fearful of this thing. One was a conversation of joy, of brightness, talking about just how nice it is to see the neighbor. This was the one who walking with God in their heart. Talking about the beautiful garden that they had. Talking about the What a wonderful day. How every single day they walk in the sunshine. The other was, oh, I'm so glad we're finally getting through this. It's been so difficult. So challenging. But I guess there's things that we come from this that we learn. Yes, there's been many things if we've listened. One person unfazed by the fear and the threat, walking beautifully with God. The other person trying to climb out of the pit that they threw themselves in because of fear. In that place that you go there, you can get out of, but it's a hard climb. The question is, as we say so often, how did that climb out really happen? Did it happen through that true accountability, repentance before God, to strengthen that relationship and bring Christ deeper in the heart? Or did it happen because they took salvation through a needle? That's an unknown. And that's the challenge that we face right now, is there just aren't proportionally too many are walking away from God, and too few are humbling themselves at the foot of God and striving to be more accountable deeply. But those that are that remnant. And those that are walking that path, we have to push deeper into that, because there's no other way that we can walk that path and be the light for the others to join us if we are not digging in deeper and deeper into that path to challenge ourselves some more, to have God raise the bar on what we're expected to do. And to quite frankly see how far we can go. So the question when you're in a performance athlete space is not whether you're going to get through a training session or get through a race. Everything you do every single day in whatever it is, whether it's a skilled profession, whether it's a trade craft, whether it's a performance athlete level of accomplishment, when you walk in these paths of striving higher, every day is about pushing yourself to a new level, even if everything's going wrong. You never stop seeking to climb and to climb higher and to jump further and to run farther. Even on those days when the joints hurt, the muscles in your quads are burning. You can hardly walk down a set of stairs without feeling like your legs are going to collapse before you. It's just so tired that you can barely keep your eyes open. That fire that burns in your belly never stops pushing you to achieve and to strive to higher levels and accomplish greater things. It might be the one thing that you understand in that one day that changes everything about how you approach what you're trying to do. And that relationship that you have with God should be no different. Through Christ to the Father, it should be a striving. We're given some boundaries, some ways of walking in this world that Christ has dictated well. And we're faced with the many challenges that life throws, because life does that. Life is imperfect, and life is a constant set of booby traps, especially in this day and age. Those are hurdles that we can clear. There are pits over which we jump. There are blocks which we dodge. There are bases that we touch and run. And in the end, we're all about coming home. And to a certain degree, home might be blocked to the very end. We might have to slide onto that home base. But if we're true to this path and we're never stopping and we are never doing anything but to strive to a higher level. It doesn't matter what stands before us and that final home plate. We will be there. Received with open arms. And having done so in a way that we can say truly that our life was one that we were accountable to God Almighty, to the Lord Himself in all things that we did. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in a time such as this, in which so much is put before us, so many deceptions, so many traps, so much deceit, we pray for the clarity to see the way forward as you would intend. And we pray, Lord, for the fire in our belly to raise us up, to strive to be greater in this walk, not just to be in this walk, but to be greater in this walk, to strive to levels never before imagined, to push deeper in ways we never thought possible, to become more than we could have imagined of ourselves, knowing that that's only possible because only you know the greatness of all that we are. So, Lord, we pray for that strength. We pray for that drive. We pray for that fire to drive us in a way never before conceived, that we can be greater in this world than we think possible, that we can accept the gifts, truly accept the gifts given us by Christ, not to try to be something different or be something unique or meditate in some strange way, but simply to accept the gifts that you've given and to own those, to hold them to our heart, and then to perform into them, to push us to the highest level possible, ourselves pushing each day accountable to you. Let us be that. Let us be the one. Send us. Send me, Lord. For that is who we are in our heart and what we strive to be, greater in all things through Christ and through Christ to the Father. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. You know, when you work into different parts of, doesn't matter what field, doesn't matter what performance, and it doesn't matter what you have, you push to the level that you can master it. There's a photographer I know, she's very good. She was a director of photography for many years for one of the big agencies in the nation. And a few years ago, she was fired. It's not fired. She was let go because they downsized. It's the right term. And so she took about doing something. And this is like 5-6 years ago. She took about doing something that was really kind of unheard of at the time. As a professional photographer, and this is at a time when iPhone's pixel rating was like 5 megapixels an image or something like that, maybe 8, not like today's stuff that Apple's doing. And she said, I want to shoot one good photograph a day. Now, maybe that sounds easy. I can assure you, shooting one good photograph a day takes an unbelievable commitment every day. One good photograph a day. You have to find the photograph. You have to see it in your mind. And you have to let God guide you in the end. That is the true nature of photography. You have to let go of your expectation. You have to let God show you the photograph through His eyes of perfection. And it's then that you see and find the greatest photographs. It's a physical experience. If you're connected with it, the right photograph, when you capture that perfect moment, it is like an electric shock down your spine. So to say to find one good, to shoot one good photograph a day is an accomplishment. And that's what she did and has done since. And the photography that comes out of that is amazing. And it's a path that only could happen through God and trusting in that process. So let me leave you with this. Considering where each of you are in your own way, not a judgment of any sense of where each of us is, where you are today with your relationship with Christ. As a performance athlete, imagine something, a goal that you want to achieve, bigger than you think is possible. And if you turn that over to God and you push, you're going to find that not only do you achieve that, but you're going to achieve a depth and breadth in your profession of walking in Christ greater than anything you ever could imagine. Just mark it today and check back in 5 years and see how true that statement is. It's a life walk. And it's one that never ceases to get more challenging, more interesting, and more rewarding. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. It is a constant pressing in. It is a constant climb. It is a constant commitment. And it centers on accountability and our love of God through Christ to the Father. God will never forsake us. He's always there with us. And in the end, the greatest victory in this, and yes, God always wins, but the greatest victory is our relationship with Christ through the Father and God's joy in seeing us come home. I'll see you in a bit for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
In the night we were wild, we were golden. Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. We built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from coming. Why look, it all comes rushing. Wolves cry and lightning strike. Revival.